Yes, time to shine on this Tuesday morning. Welcome to the latest edition of The Breakfast Show with Vossie and Brandy on the SEN network right across. I mean, we're everywhere. 11:70 a.m. here in Sydney, 8:01 a.m. Central Coast, 15:75 a.m. Illawarra, 90.3 FM in Griffith. Great again to have the company of 13:23 a.m. in Canberra. And people listening everywhere on the SEN app. Had a fella come up to me yesterday saying he was listening on the app in the morning. Heard our shout out for Ricky Garrard, who finished third in the CrossFit Games in the world. That was one of the stories we touched on yesterday. And of course, if you are listening anywhere in the world on the SEN app, give us a shout this morning on the text 0457 736 736. You can call the McDonald Jones open line 1300 01 11 70. And of course, you can join in the conversation on our Twitter site at Vossie Brandy SEN. Hello also to those listening belatedly via the podcast. Don't forget, if you miss any of the show, you can subscribe to the Breakfast Show podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. As I say, good morning to Brandy. The Commonwealth Games are done and dusted, and a little more gold overnight. The Kookaburras winning gold, that is seven times in a row at the Commonwealth Games. Nice way to finish.
It is, Fossey. I very successful games for the Australians, getting over the top of the host nation, England. And we ended up beating the English by 10 gold medals. So 67 gold medals we ended up getting. Not quite as successful as the Gold Coast, where we won 80 gold medals, but 178 medals in total. And you'd have to say, even though the time difference was not ideal, it was an enjoyable Commonwealth Games. I enjoyed it.
It certainly was.
As we always do. We always
love the backstories.
We always knock the Commonwealth Games prior to it happening. But once it's underway, we go, this is fantastic.
You've got to love sport. Now, look, on the program today, and obviously the topics we were talking about yesterday are still relevant today, and we will continue discussion on that, and Ricky Stewart's central to a lot of that. You can have your say on that. Now, Lee Hadjipantelis from Brighton's Lawyers and Chair of the West Tigers will be on the program today. Michael Carayannis from the Daily Telegraph with all the big back page stories. Michelle Bishop with her sports updates. But some very sad news to wake up to this morning. Dame Olivia Newton-John has passed away peacefully at her ranch in Southern California this morning, aged 73. This was posted on the Instagram account of Olivia Newton-John by her husband. She was surrounded by family and friends, and it was noted on the post, "We ask that everyone please respect the family's privacy during this very difficult time. Olivia has been a symbol of triumph and hope for over 30 years, sharing her journey with breast cancer. Her healing inspiration and pioneering experience with plant medicine continues with the Olivia Newton-John Foundation Fund, dedicated to researching plant medicine and cancer. In lieu of flowers, the family asked that any donations be made in her memory to the ONJ Foundation." So that's at ONJ Foundation. But very sad news. Olivia Newton-John, fair to say, icon, passing away at age 73, and only appropriate that through the show this morning we filter through some of the best of Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah, it is sad, Vossie, that's for sure. Look, my mum was a big Olivia Newton-John fan. I grew up listening to Olivia Newton-John back in the 70s. I thought Olivia's songs were pretty catchy, and they stayed with me all these years. I don't mind hearing an Olivia Newton-John song every now and then. It reminds me of my mum, so very sad. Yeah, very
nice.
Sad.
Well, Greece is the one. I mean, all the
Greece,
songs with John
Greece
Travolta.
Is the
I mean, that's...
Yep.
When you say iconic, I mean, that is it. I mean, will never be forgotten. And you sing along and your feet
do you remember
tapping it, and all the rest. So,
what year did Greece come out?
Well, late 70s. Remember? Wouldn't have been. Would have been late 70s. I'd have to check that, Brandy. It's, it stands the test of time. And the songs that were there were just fantastic. And it was the voice of Olivia Newton-John. So, little burst of Xanadu to get us underway.
Xanadu.
And always smiling, Olivia Newton-John. So very, very sad news this morning that you wake up to find out that Olivia Newton-John has passed away, age 73. Wrapping up Commonwealth Games, the other medals overnight, silver and bronze medals overnight, the diving and the table tennis, and the flag bearer for the closing ceremony was a guest on our program just over a week ago, Melissa Wu, who won gold in the sink diving as well. So confirming what Brandy said about the final medal tally, thanks to Host Plus, an industry super fun for all Australians, Australia beating England on home soil to claim top spot, 67 gold, 57 silver, 54 bronze, a total of 178 medals. England came in second with 57 gold, 66 silver, 53 bronze for a total of 176. And Canada third with 26 gold, 32 silver, 34 bronze, total of 92 medals. That's thanks to Host Plus, an industry super fun for all Australians, run only to benefit its members. Search, compare Host Plus today. Now, NRL. Yeah, yes, Brandy.
Yeah, just on the Commonwealth Games before we get off them, Vossi, and I don't know what the leadership group discussed this morning about the Commonwealth Games, but I'm just going to throw one at us, and just for our listeners too. Mm. Out of those 67 gold medals, your favourite, your best moment of the Commonwealth Games.
We didn't actually discuss that. That was the first thing we discussed, Brandy. That was the topic. Am I the one that missed out on it?
Right.
Well, quite obviously, that was the first thing we discussed. Gary of Newtown was the one who proposed that at the time, and the Greenkeeper and Rooster said, "I second the motion." You missed that.
Well, anyway, I concur with whatever you blokes come up with. So
your favourite gold medal from the Commonwealth Games, 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736, as we encouraged a week ago. If you know any of the backstory of some of these competitors, the lesser lights, we all know the Emma McKeon and what have we, but some of the lesser lights who picked up gold medals and, you know, members of the hockey team that you may know that's part of your junior club, by all means, come on here and wax lyrical about what they've achieved representing their country. Now, on Ricky Stewart, we understand the NRL is set to announce a one-week suspension and a $20,000 fine for Stewart following his, quote, weak gutted dog comments. He was interviewed by the Integrity Unit yesterday. It's been reported that some of the evidence won't be included in the final report, such as the personal nature of it. Canberra did finally issue a statement yesterday saying the club doesn't condone the comments made by Ricky and that they would continue to support him both professionally and personally. And that's 100%, I support that. That's what I thought Canberra should have said right from the start. While we support Ricky, we distance ourselves from the comments. We are a rugby league club. This is what we stand for. So whatever issue Ricky has with Jamin Salmon, that had to be discussed elsewhere, not an NRL media conference. Canberra CEO Don Furness says the club will cop any sanctions the NRL hands down, but won't go over and above the NRL's punishment. So the employer of Ricky Stewart won't be adding to the punishments of the NRL. You may have an opinion on that, Brandy. I don't know whether there's too much more to add to it.
Is the
ban appropriate? I struggled with it because we've never been there before. This is such
unusual territory. Bossy. Yeah. It is unusual territory. And obviously, whatever you know, and I don't know the reasons. I don't know the backstory of the what happened 10 years ago. I don't know any of it. There seems to be a lot of people in the media that do know what happened 10 years ago. And obviously, I think from the penalty, obviously the Integrity Unit have taken that into account too.
Well, it's an offensive.
I don't know what the penalty. I don't know whether the penalty is a fair penalty or not. I'm not sure whether they needed to go harder or certainly not less.
It couldn't be just a fine. A fine didn't there's not a monetary value that equates to what happened here. That's just my opinion, but in this situation, look, I have heard what's filtered through from other media sections around it, and it has been written in some commentary today that Ricky was defending his family, but my counter to that is, what danger was the Stewart family in from Jamin Salmon, 22, 23-year-old footballer on Saturday night? I mean, really, it's an offensive time and place by Ricky. I just don't think representing the Canberra club and representing the game at a post-match media conference. I mean, I can't imagine we're ever going to go there across this ground again. No, the fact that we got like there, we had to come up with something.
So if we go back to the start and what you originally thought, you originally thought of Ricky Stewart's comments, if you just look at them in isolation and go, well,
yep,
why would you say that now here,
yep,
at a press conference,
yep,
when there's hundreds of thousands of people watching on Fox Sports? Why would you say that now? Why would you bring it up now?
Yes. Well, it's a question for Lee Hadjipantelis later about defamation, what have you, there on Jamin Samuel, whether it wants to go any further. As I said, there's been all sorts of things. I mean, I just think that it's a unique situation and a fine would not suffice. And I'll stand by what I said yesterday. And if the league had to come down and said, well, Ricky, you know, the fact that there is four matches to go, or Canberra, as his employer said, with four matches to go, we support you, but then I would have been fine with that. But yeah, I don't know whether there's any more we can say about the actual act, because
I think
it's been out said. There. We've sort of exhausted everything.
It's been said. Yep.
So, but by all means, have you say 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Do you agree with that reported punishment, which would be 1 week suspension and a $20,000 fine? Now, Isaiah Papali'i, Brandy, what do you do here?
What do you do? It's ridiculous. It's a joke. So he was interviewed on Channel 9 last night saying that he's still not sure whether he will take up the offer or whether he's taken up the offer. He signed a contract.
Mm.
Why does he now sit back and go, oh, hang on, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to the Tigers now. Like, when will he inform the Tigers that he actually is going there? Because they've got a roster to sort out. They've got a lot of money invested in Isaiah Papali'i. It's outrageous that he is still sitting on the fence wondering, hang on, I still might stay at the Eels.
The listeners may not have seen this on Channel 9 News last night, so we'll run the grab of Isaiah Papali'i refusing to confirm that he will honour his Tigers contract. Have a listen.
Kind of for my manager to look after, and even if I don't stay here or I do go next year, I want to make sure that this year has no regrets. I think it was the coaching action that went on, and when I went and did sign, it was talking to Madge, and he's an awesome coach. I kind of rattled the cage a bit, and I guess you had to have those conversations, and I guess that was a massive factor for me. I reckon somewhere in the off-season, because let this distract me at the moment, because we have a massive opportunity and I don't want to left any stone unturned.
He reckons somewhere in the off season he might make his mind up. I know contracts don't mean the same as what they used to.
That's right. Yeah,
but you can't sit on your hands after you've signed a deal and you're still dragging that club along as to whether you're going to turn up next year or not. And you're so busy.
Parramatta along. Well, Parramatta have no right to be. I mean, what if Parramatta come back and say, well, actually, we've actually spent our salary cap? How's that going to work? Like, Parramatta will have spent their money, won't they? They're surely not leaving a spot for a $500,000 a year player. Would they? No, that couldn't happen. What if Parramatta, let's jump the shark here. Let's go to the off season, and he says, oh, I want to stay in Eel. And Parramatta says, oh, sorry, we've signed, you know. We've got no spot. We can fit you in at 200. How's that going to work? How's that going to play out?
That won't happen. That won't happen, because the Eels would know. The Eels are obviously in dialogue with Isaiah, saying, "Look, we've still got enough money now." They are short back rows. They've had players leave the club, so they'd have money to spend on Isaiah. So it's not putting the Eels out. It's putting the Tigers out massively. Mm.
Well, there's no issue here about travel or moving into state. I mean, it's a dead set 10-minute drive between the two training venues. I will make this statement without knowing. Lee will come on later and just confirm if there was a little out there in the contract for Zay. But if there isn't, then if he turns his back on the Tigers have put their foot down and you can't play next year.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do. I'd stand my ground and just say, no. Look, I don't know how that would work their salary cap, but you can't be walked over like this.
Well, you can't just you can't just say, "Oh, well, now the coach is not there." Madge, great coach. I'm having doubts about going across. That doesn't matter.
If the Tigers are in the eight, he's going. He would have confirmed it last night on the news. That's what I'm thinking.
Of course he would.
Obviously. Yeah. But now the Tigers could be wooden spooners. So there you have that one. Have you seen that? Do you play hardball? You don't have to be a Tigers fan to have your say on this issue. How do you see it? Come on the open line and have your say. Now, the Tigers have opted not to pursue legal action against the NRL over their loss to the Cowboys a fortnight ago. The NRL yesterday issued a statement ruling out reversing the result, but saying it would conduct an end-of-season review of the captain's challenge rule. End-of-season review. They could do that the same week as Opap Lee makes up his mind what he's doing. we could have a transfer window week where we... Almost Festivus. You know, we just air our grievances and we reach resolution on all these issues. 1 week in the off-season.
And Isaiah's still making up his mind.
That's it. Yes, but he has until the Friday. Graeme Annesley, his Monday morning show, says Tarek Sims should have been sent off for the high tackle that knocked Connor Tracy out on Saturday night. No, well, okay. I disagree. I disagree.
So do I.
I don't have send-off. So why did Graeme Annesley
I didn't have send-off either.
And when he says he should have been sent off. So, but we never get the explanation. So why wasn't he then? Why did the bunker review it? And they look at the same thing, the match review committee, but the bunker don't see it as a send-off offence, but the match review committee. It's the same problem. I'm just going again. Hello? Hello? We've been dealing with the same thing. What's the saying? A dog goes back to its own vomit. I mean, we go back to this all the time. They are applying different sets of rules, Graham. Can you explain why the match review committee have a different set of rules to the bunker in the game?
I saw that happen yesterday. Dog going back to its own vomit.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, like, that's true. Sound off again. Hello? Graham. It's the issue.
I don't think he... Well, I was happy with the 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. I was happy
with the 10
minutes. That's right.
It wasn't an outrageous... high swinging shot.
No.
He
parallel to body.
Stuck down there. The low tackler, Andrew McCulloch, meant that he couldn't really get himself involved in the tackle. All of a sudden, low tackle, he's standing there. He stands his ground, keeps his arm down by his side, does lean into the tackle. There's impact, there's no doubt. But it's not. I don't think it was a send-off.
Have your say on that one here this morning. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. And just one last one to throw in the mix. Ben Horn writing in the Telegraph today about Talia McGrath. Could that happen this summer? Could we reach a stage where cricketers Talia McGrath plays with COVID yesterday? Could we have that over the summer? You know, like,
well,
rather
not?
Than up massive upheaval, test positive on the morning of a test match and still play.
Yeah, but we've
under protocols.
We could. We've been talking about that in rugby league as well. Like, why can't we just...
Well, cricket's a little different. You can keep your distance if that's what you must do.
Yes, you can.
So
you've got to wipe the ball down every... You've got to wipe the ball down. Because Talia McGrath bowled.
Mm.
So every time she bowled the ball, the umpire had to clean it, wipe it. But what happens... But after...
That catch. She couldn't get a catch off a bowling. Is that what you mean? So she either had to get bowled or leg before wicket or run out.
Because no one was allowed to touch the ball.
No one's allowed to catch the ball. Well, there's some of the rules we'd have to tweak. All right. You buy into it, we can get a little bit silly. But also today, as I say, if you're just joining us, Olivia Newton-John has passed away at age 73. So by all means, if you want to come on and pay tribute to Olivia Newton-John, you can certainly do it here. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on the SEN Network, the home of sport. Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.